This is Father's Day. And by the end of this meeting, I trust that we will have sown enough seeds to encourage the men to rise to a new place of strength in the purposes of God. How many of you would like to change? Can I see your hands? Change is important because if you don't change, you're staying just the way you are. Somebody doesn't like that somewhere. But change moves us into the purposes of God if we're his disciples. And the Bible says that we should always be changing, growing from grace to grace and faith to faith. And our problem is that we come to a place and we think we're a closed system. We've already come to the place of God working in us and we've been designed and this is who we are. We have our identity. We have the way we do things, our likes and our dislikes. But change is essential for the people of God. And today, I want to say it to you dads and to all the men who are here. Change is essential for you. So I want you to open your hearts now and to ask the Lord how he may change you even this very day. At the end of the service, as Pastor Jesse mentioned, we'll have a gift for not just the fathers, but for every man here, 18 years of age and older. So please be sure to receive that before you leave this place. Now open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 14 and 15. Ephesians 3 verse 14 says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have a covering over all the family within the universe. We thank you that we all come from you. We derive our name from you. Who we are comes from you. And today we ask you to minister in your grace and to draw us up to be more like you and like your son Jesus. We receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to call this message the representative man. Now you might think that the representative man is Jesus because there's no representative man in all of history like Jesus, because he represents the Father, God, to us. Jesus represented us when he died and took on him the sins of the whole world. There's no one who is best qualified or better qualified to be called the representative man than Jesus. But I am not talking about him today. I am talking about you, because you are the representative man that I want to talk to and about today. I want to talk to you about being a man, about being a leader, and about being a father. Even if you have not been the father of children in the natural, there are some men who are called to a life of celibacy, as is with some women. But that does not negate the responsibility of being a father. In fact, you should be a father to many who are not part of your immediate family. There's something that God has put inside of you, a seed that, like little Zadok, is to grow and become something magnificent. It is to be a representation of heaven. Each one of you men are representatives of God the Father and representatives of heaven. Now, of course, the women are representatives too. But we're not talking to the women. They can relax and just give their husbands an elbow and say, "See, I told you." But gentlemen, you are called to be representative men. I am so glad for the men in this congregation. Even yesterday, we had a work day here, and many of the men in the church were here working. We have a fabulous band of brothers in this church. As a matter of fact, I have not been with such a group of men as are in this church since I was in my early 20s. And I've been a pastor for 45 years. But there is something happening with the men in this church that I am very excited about and very thankful for. Because I see men going beyond the norm, taking more sacrifice, serving more extensively, pouring out themselves more extravagantly for the power and release of the Holy Spirit, for the call of God, whether it's to get their hands dirty in the physical work or their hands into the work of the Holy Spirit to release His power, His care, His love, and His covering to others. And I say to you men in this church, well done, men of God. Well done. I wouldn't say that there isn't room for some improvement, but I'll leave that for another day. But I am very excited, and I believe that we are on a journey, both the men and the women in this congregation, to see something produced that will be absolutely extraordinary. Because there's a level of responsibility in God that I am beginning to recognize. And out of it is coming forth the birth of an amazing family in this church. If you do not have a home church, I want to welcome you to be part of Antioch International Church and to be part of this miracle. It takes a little while for it to unroll or to open up, but it is opening day by day and week by week, and the purposes and blessings of the Lord are coming. Now, we read a scripture a little bit earlier that every family in heaven and on earth is named because of the Father. You fathers are representative of God the Father. We're going to look at the story of somebody in the Bible to help us on this study, and his name is Caleb. Would you come with me to the book of Numbers? I want to read to you about Caleb the man, Caleb the leader, and Caleb the father. So first of all, let's look at Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. Let's do that. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. And from each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert. And we go down a little bit to verse 6. It says, and from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. Now, Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. And who else was from the tribe of Judah? Somebody very famous. Jesus. Of course, Jesus is the lion from the tribe of Judah. But way back here in the early days, when the children of Israel, 2 million of them, left Egypt, left slavery and bondage, and they went on an amazing journey through the desert towards the land that God before time had destined for his throne. It is called the Promised Land, which he gave as inheritance to the children of Israel. And when they got to the land, after 40 days of marching through the desert and seeing the miracles of God to provide for them, you know, the miracles of God were so amazing during that time. And for another 40 years, the Bible says that God supplied them with food and water in the desert water is necessary for 2 million people in the desert for one day. In the desert, you need at least a gallon of water. So every day, the children of Israel needed 2 million gallons of water. And just imagine the grocery bill, the food that was necessary. You know what else the Bible says? That their clothes or their shoes did not wear out. 40 years. This is absolutely amazing that God could perform such a miracle for 2 million people. Just imagine a pair of shoes not wearing out for 40 years. That's a miracle. I mean, I keep my clothes a long time, but not like that. And the miracles of God were there. Gentlemen, you need to know the miracles of God for your family and for your life, for your future. The children of Israel came after 40 days to the edge of the promised land. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Send out one man from each of the 12 tribes." It is estimated that there were 75,000 men in each of the tribes. So out of these 2 million people, many of them, of course, were women and many of them were children, but 75,000 in each tribe, approximately, were men. And from those 75,000, one man was chosen to represent the team. 75,000, that might be how many people watch a Panthers football game in the stadium. And just imagine if you are in that stadium with 75,000 people and you get chosen to be the representative of all those people. That's what it was for Caleb and all the rest. And these leaders were told to go into the promised land to spy out the land. What was their task? Was their task to determine whether or not they should go and take the land? Absolutely not. Because God said, "This is the land that I am giving to you and your children for an inheritance. Go and investigate it. Go and spy it out so that you might have a strategy on how to go forward." See, the Lord has promised you, dads, some very special blessings. He has a blessing. In fact, the Bible teaches us, "For this reason you have been called, that you might inherit a blessing." Those are the words of the Apostle Peter. That's God's intention for you. But you have to be courageous. You have to go and take what God has given you. So, men of God, it's up to you to lead in your family. You're not the only leader in your family, but you certainly better be one of them. And you better be taking a stand to say, "How can I be a blessing for my family?" That's a call of God on your life. You are the representative man sent from heaven. Of course, once you were a cuddly, cute little Zadok baby. But you grew up. And you had to come to the age of responsibility. Somewhere through the teen or in the 20s. They say the age is bumping up higher and higher all the time. The age of responsibility. But there has to come a time when a man puts his shoulders back and says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm leading this family into the promised land." And as you look at the future, you might say, "We can't go forward. There's giants in the land. There's walled cities. There's all kinds of problems ahead of us." I have met with men over the years who, when they got married, said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you because my wife wants to have children. I don't want to have children. And I said, why don't you want to have children? They said, because I'm afraid. I don't want to bring children into this world. There's so much pain and so much suffering and so much darkness in this world. I don't want to bring children into this world. So I said, well, first of all, let me pray for you. And break off a spirit of fear. And then we started to plot a course. And of course, after those men became fathers and they had little children, and they saw what a wonderful blessing it was to have children, they came to me and said, what was I thinking? Gentlemen, you have been chosen by God to be the man in your home and to lead. Now, as we go through the story of Caleb, we come to Numbers chapter 14, and I want you to look at verse 10. It says there, well, let's go up a little bit higher. Verse 5, Numbers chapter 14 and verse 5. It says, then Moses and Aaron fell face downward in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. So now, here's a man, he and Joshua, two out of the 12, who came back with a good report and a courageous attitude. Men, you need courage. In the midst of fear and difficulties and all kinds of obstacles, you need courage to go forward in order to possess the land that God has for your family. You need to have something inside of you that says, God has said it, I'm going for it. And not to be denied. But of the 12 spies that came out of the land, 10 of them said, the Nephilim are in the land. The giants and the walled cities are there. We will be like grasshoppers before them. We cannot go into that land. Let's not go to war. And they pulled back. But then Caleb and Joshua, they were so distraught. They fell on their faces. They tore their clothes. They said, please, people of God, don't rebel against the word of God. God didn't ask us to make the decision whether or not the children of Israel should be blessed. God didn't ask us to make the decision whether or not we should go into the promised land. He told us to go into the promised land. If we say no at this time, we not only hurt the people of Israel and stop them from getting their blessing, but we are rebelling against God. Do you hear something, gentlemen? It's not just about you. You are the representative man. God has put something in your care and in your hands that is way bigger than yourselves. And it's larger than just your love for your wife or for your children. It has generational consequences to it. God has called you to receive a blessing, to be such a man of God. But you have to go forward and walk with him. See, how did the other people miss it? they somehow missed that God had said, a blessing is set before you, go and get it. They were just thinking of the battle and how rough it would be. But somehow Caleb, he heard God when the Lord said, go into the land that I am giving to you and your descendants as an inheritance. He heard God. This is the very first place. If you want to be a man, a representative man, gentlemen, you have to hear God. You have to walk with God. And you have to say, this is the will of God, and it is my place, along with my wife and the family, to see that the blessings of God come to our family. And you go for it with all your heart. You don't have to ask this question, is it God's will to bless my family? Of course it is. You just need to read your Bible a little more. Is it God's blessings to come upon you? Is that his intention? Of course it is. So what you need to do is what the children of Israel should have done, and that is to strategize with God to see how it's going to happen. But not whether or not it's going to happen. You can't sit back and say, oh, well, if God blesses us, he blesses us. And if something happens, it happens. And if not, well, that's all right too. Oh, it's up to you, sir, to go after the heart of God for your family and to do what is necessary. Somehow Caleb could hear God, and Joshua did, but the others did not. And then when they took a stand, I never realized it before. I thought they just had a difference of opinion. But it says that the children of Israel were talking about stoning them to death. Did you read that? Now, men, this is where your leadership comes in. Caleb and Joshua were not popular, but they took a stand regardless. Leadership, at some stage, doesn't always mean that somebody else is following. Sometimes, nobody will follow, even though you're a leader. It can happen. It happened to Jesus when all of his disciples pretty well forsook him. It happened with Paul. There's a time for a leader to stand for what is right, to stand in integrity and in purpose, and go forth in the obedient word of the Lord, even if nobody follows. So men, you are a representative man, but you're also to be God's representative leader. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is what we're doing. This is where we're going. Now, you don't do it like a dictator, but certainly with you and your spouse, and if you have grown children, you work together, but you chart a course into the purposes of God. And then you go for it. In this case, the children of Israel were ready to stone them. Why? Because they were saying, come on, let's go. Let's move forward. Okay, let me say this to you, gentlemen. You should be moving forward. Yes, you should. What are you doing to advance the purposes of God in your family? Do you have a plan to move forward? You know, it usually has to do with building something or being something or serving in some way or going somewhere or doing something. But it has to do with you developing inwardly and also to serve God and taking your family with you. I'm so impressed with the Casey family. And a great number of the family members have just got back from a missions trip, and another group have just left for a missions trip. They have a revolving missions door in the Casey family. It's a wonderful thing to see. You may not be popular, but gentlemen, go forward. Go forward. Now we're going to just come to the end of this. I want you to come with me to Joshua chapter 15. Because 40 years later, the children of Israel get into the promised land. They should have done it after 40 days, but they did it after 40 years because of a bad report and people who rebelled against the Lord. Missing out on a blessing is not just a bad decision. It's going against the blessings of God and the purpose of God for your life. But now 40 years later, you know how old Caleb was when he started? When he was one of those 12 spies that went into the land, he was 40 years old. 40 years later, plus 5 years of them going through the land, he is now 85. Let's look in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 10. Joshua 14 and verse 10. It says, these are the words of Caleb. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. Is there anyone here older than 85? If you don't mind lifting your hand. Bless you. Anybody else? Bless you, dear. Are there any men here who are 85 years of age or older? I see none. What a young congregation. Listen to this man, because some of you are complaining about your age and your frailty. And he says, so here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day 45 years ago. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron. Hebron belongs to Caleb. It's not in his hands today, nor in the hands of his descendants. Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as an inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Gentlemen, you have to follow the God of Israel wholeheartedly. This is going to require courage. Courage when you're 75. Courage when you're 80. Courage when you're 85. To say, I'm going for it. Come on, family. See, one thing you gain if you've walked with God, gentlemen, over the years, you've gained wisdom. Your family thinks you've mellowed. But you've learned that there's a way to do things and a way not to do things. You've learned by your mistakes when you tried to push too hard to make something happen. You've been sorry for the times of your anger, for displaced good intentions. But now that you're older, and I'm speaking to those with gray hair or none, you've gained in wisdom. And that wisdom is not just so you can die nicely. It's now is the time for you to lead your family and take hold of the inheritance for your children and your grandchildren. And don't be afraid to say, I'm just as strong now as I was back then 40 years ago. Now, you might not physically be so, but you certainly should be spiritually, emotionally, and in every other way. There should be a power and an authority in your life now. And you can do something at this time in your life that you could not do when you were a younger man. And Caleb, at age 85, of course he had a lot of strong young men around him by that time, as I have been blessed with in this congregation. When we need to move big furniture or whatever, I call upon chosen men of God who have some brawn. And I'm sure that Caleb did as well. And they went in and overtook these nations in the hill country in Hebron. Hebron was in the desert. It is in the desert. It's in the Negev. It's south of Jerusalem. If you cut the country in half, going north of Jerusalem with one half in Israel and going south, you'll find that south of Jerusalem, it gets increasingly desert for 100 miles. Desert, desert, desert. But that was the land that was given to Caleb. And he took it. He reminded Joshua of the promise that came from God and Moses 40 years earlier, 45 years earlier, and Joshua blessed him and gave him the land. Now we're going to just look at being a father. What did he do with this land? So come with me to Joshua chapter 15 and verse 13. In accordance with the Lord's command to him, Joshua gave to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, a portion in Judah, Kiriath Arba. That is Hebron. Arba was the forefather of Anak. From Hebron, Caleb drove out the three Anakites, Sheshai, Haman, and Talmai, descendants of Anak. From there, he marched against the people living in Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, I will give my daughter, Aksa, in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer. Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother, so this was a distant cousin, took the land. So Caleb gave his daughter, Aksa, to him in marriage. Now look at verse 18. One day, when she came to Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. And when she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, what can I do for you? And she replied, do me a special favor, daddy. Since you have given me land in the Negev, in the desert, give me also springs of water. So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. Now I want you to see the legacy of this man. He's God's representative man. He's God's representative leader. And he's God's representative father. See, as God's representative man, you have to take a stand. As God's representative leader, you've got to go forward for your family and take the ground. But as a daddy, as God's representative father, you have a responsibility to give. Because every family in heaven and earth is existing because of what the Father has given and continues to give. I'm a dad. I'm a father, and not just of my own family, but a father here in this church. It will always be my desire to give as much to you as I can. But dads, you have to be givers. and don't be stingy. See, let me tell you something that happens. Dads often fight so hard to make a living and put the money where it needs to be so there's food on the table and there's a shelter over people's heads and their families are taken care of, that by the time they get to a place where they have a little bit of money and they see their children and grandchildren growing up and having to learn these things, many dads become tightwads. Because they know that it could rain tomorrow. So you better save and you better prepare and you better really work hard to make the money go a long way. It's responsible. But that's not a good spirit, Dad, if that's all you've got. You need to have this heart inside of you that's like the heart of your Heavenly Father. Lord, I want to give. I want to give and give and give. And you know what I like to do? I don't always do it as good as I could, but I try. I always try to outgive my children's expectation. That's what's inside of me. I always want to give more than what they think they're going to get. So if they ask me for something, I try to get them two of it. If they say, Dad, can you give me so much money for doing such and such when they were growing up? I would always give them more than what the bargain or the contract suggested. And for the workers who have come here to do work on little bits of paving and so on, we've always given them more than what they asked for. Now, dads, take a look at Caleb. Caleb got a good husband for his daughter. Things have changed. I don't think most daughters would like to be married off today by the choice of the dad. But in those days, it was very acceptable. And children, I would really recommend that you take your mom and dad's advice when it comes to choosing a marriage partner. They will save you a lot of pain. But here was this man, a great man of God, a warrior and sold out to the purposes of God, who married Aksah, the daughter of Caleb. And then they gave the daughter and son-in-law a piece of land in the desert. But that's the land that he had around Hebron. And then she went to her daddy and said, Dad, you've given me some land in the desert. Will you please also give me some water? You got to have water or else the land's no good in the desert. And the Bible says, and Caleb gave his daughter and son-in-law the lower and the upper springs. He didn't just give them one. The upper springs are so valuable, perhaps the most valuable thing in the whole of the land, because water runs downhill. So if you have a spring on top of the hill, you can water all of your crops below. And of course, the water springs at the bottom is where you're going to get your drinking water and all of the stuff that you need for domestic responsibilities. Daddy was asked for some spring of water, but he said, I'll do better than that, dear. I'm going to give you both the upper and the lower springs of water. Now, I want to put this in you, dads. You are God's representative man. Can you catch it? Can you catch it? God is looking at you and asking you to teach and to train and to treat his children as if you were in his place, in God's place. So he wants you to be a man of God, and he wants you to go forward, take a stand, and then go forward for your family. And then let the Lord supply And out of that supply, give and give and give and give and give. Sometimes, dads, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing, or you'll be in strife and fighting with yourself. Just give it and bless. And when you bless, God will bless you. Let there be a new anointing on our families, on our children. Let the men of God arise and be extraordinary in these days. Now I want to pray for you. So would all the men in the church please stand? If you're 18 years of age or older, I'd like you to stand. There's a coat coming on you right now. It's coming from heaven. It's the mantle of the Lord to be such a leader, to be such a man of strength, and to be such a giver, such a provider. Even when you don't have a lot, God will multiply it. He took care of all of the children of Israel. Their clothes didn't wear out. Don't worry, God will do his part. But you do your part. Get your heart in that place to be God's representative man for your family. And he will bless you. He will make it happen. I want you to put your hand on your heart now. Oh. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these men of God. And I ask that you would wash them from the weariness, even from their own failures. And that today your anointing would come upon them, that you would strengthen them and empower them and bless them and equip them and train them and give them your wisdom and your grace and your love, your authority. I speak the blessing of the Lord upon your lives. And I release you to your assignments. Oh, men of God, representative men, I speak strength to do your task and to be blessed of God and to release a blessing to your families. I speak it over you now in Jesus' name. Amen.